Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you, friends, family, visitors to Little Swatara. I'm here this morning to review, to welcome you and to give you a few announcements. The one that I have is our every member council meeting will be next Monday, that's August 12th, here at Little Swatara, and we encourage everybody to attend. I know there are other things that are featured in your bulletin. I would encourage you to read those. Are there other announcements that you'd like to draw to our attention? I'm not seeing any, so let's pause and center ourselves. I invite you to stand and join in reading our call to worship. Lord, we gather to worship you. Help us to be one, united together, proclaiming your greatness. Use us, Lord, to show your mercy and grace to all people. May you alone be glorified. Please remain standing for our opening hymn.
God is good all the time. God is good. Amen? Yeah. It's such a privilege to be able to come before the Lord and be able to share our joys and concerns with Him. There'll be a microphone coming around that just simply slip your hand in the air and we'll be sure to get that microphone to you. Again, thank you for being here at Little Sotora. Summer is winding down and students are getting so excited and teachers are getting so excited about going back to school, right? Amen, yeah. Okay, maybe parents are a little more excited than the kids.
Good morning. I'm blessed to have visitors with me today. My daughter Jackie and her fiance Jay are down from Rhode Island for the weekend.
Welcome, welcome.
You'll have to pardon me, I have a list. When I was listening to one of my radio stations in the car this week, it said, we are the product, one of the announcers said, we are the product of all the people who come into our lives.
Sorry.
I said to myself, in reverse, how do you affect lives you come into contact with? Then on another radio station, I was in my car a lot this week. It says, love, you should be loving those people who enter your path today. And I think that's every day. Now, prayer requests. Pray for those who are seeking jobs. Specifically for me, my sister is awaiting a vote to go back into the ministry. Also, we will be seeing our granddaughter for the first time in 2.5 years. She'll be arriving Saturday afternoon, so it's a long flight from Japan, so you can pray for her for 19 hours prior to that, so it's a 19-hour flight. So anytime Friday or Saturday, you can pray. Now, in alignment with what I said at the beginning of my thing about loving others, I'm trying to keep up with birthdays. And in your bulletin, it has an address for Dakota Himmelberger. His birthday is coming up August 11th. I think it would be a great, great thing for this congregation to shower him with birthday cards. So there's no excuse. It's in your bulletin. So dig out that birthday card, and I'm not sure. I think, can it go with a regular stamp? Okay, all it takes is 55 cents to make a wonderful influence on someone. So please, please, I know how much the cards meant to Curtis in his situation. I think this would be a great idea for our congregation to support him. Send him your prayers, your well wishes, include a note. They love getting mail.
But Shane just made comment that the other morning. Why is everyone else getting mail in the house and I don't? So I guess I'm going to have to send my son some mail. Oh, not till February, yeah.
I'd like to lift up a friend of mine that's, he's waiting for a kidney donation right now. So he's type O and... you know, he's just been waiting. He's going through a lot of other stuff in his life right now, too. So just keep him in prayer. And also keep me in prayer as I got my packet from the Northeast District this week as far as going into the ministry and stuff. So keep me in my prayer and my walk here.
Amen.
I have a joy. Our grandson, Carson, 2 years ago, he was in the NICU. He is doing well. His vision has improved. He no longer wears glasses, and we celebrated his second birthday. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd like to ask for prayers for my mother, Christine Bashore. She has spent a couple days in the hospital this past week, and she is now home, and she's happy to be home, but just keep her in your prayers. Thanks.
It's an awesome morning when you're running out of space on your bulletin to write prayer requests. This is awesome. Can I have more paper?
Dorothy Murky, she's having trouble with her blood clot medicine, and but she helps my brother, so I mean, he needs his other knee replaced, so it's kind of rough for both of them.
Let's go to our great God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us. As the sun shines down upon us and warms our skin, we're reminded of the warmth of your love, the comfort of your grace and your mercy, the forgiveness that you freely flowed through the cross. Lord, we are just a thankful people this morning. And we just come before you this morning. There are many, many prayers upon our hearts. And Lord, you know each one. But Lord, you know we want to lift each one of them up specifically. So Lord, you know Burl's sister entering into ministry, waiting upon that vote, and other job seekers, maybe even among us, but those in our community and world, we just pray for that you would give guidance, you would give direction, that you would allow jobs to be made available that they could be employed. We do rejoice with Burl and her granddaughter coming to be able to see her in such a long time, and we just thank you for just the love that the two of them have for each other, and just pray that you would give her safe travels as she makes her journey here. We think of Craig's friend that's waiting for a kidney, and Lord, you know specifically that person that would be a perfect match, and we're just praying that that would come to pass sooner than later, Lord, and we just give you glory and we give you honor for making that possible, that that kidney would be received. We lift up Craig as well as he begins this journey into licensure, into the Church of the Brethren. And we just pray you would just continue to give him that passion, to give him that peace, and to give him that joy that he has as he's felt that call to serve you in that capacity. Just bless Craig in a mighty and powerful way. We thank you for Carson. We thank you for the way that you continue to move in his life and the blessing that he is to so many, Lord. Continue to be with Carson and his family, Lord, and just continue to help us to see how you work in others' lives. And in return, Lord, we see how you're beginning to work in our own lives. And so many times, Lord, we feel like there's just no movement. There's nothing happening. But Lord, as things happen around us, we start to see those things happening in our lives. So just allow us to see this morning, Lord, where you're moving in our midst. We think, Lord, of Christine this morning, Lord. We just pray your powerful healing touch upon her, Lord. Give her peace. Give her comfort. We're thankful she's back home to be able to rest. But, Lord, just bring her healing to her body, Lord. And we just pray that you would surround her family, Martin especially, Lord, and give him the comfort he needs in caring for her and going through this time with her together. And we just lift up Dorothy this morning and just pray that you would give her the strength. You would give her the encouragement as she faces the daily struggles that she endures. And we just lift up the Bryant family this morning in a powerful way as Daniel awaits his appointments, Lord. We just pray for that entire family that you would guide them. You would continue to show your love to them and continue to just allow them to know that we're praying for them and we're encouraging them the best we know how. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with Daniel. And if it be your will, we just ask that the Caesars would cease in the powerful name of Jesus our Lord. We lift up Carl Graben this morning and Kenny Ziegler and Linda Ziegler and Ruth Keeney. And we lift up John Kaufman's brother, Mel. And Lord, we just pray that you would just continue to allow your healing to pour out upon them. But Lord, we do understand your will. We know that your will is pleasing and perfect. And we just pray, Lord, that you would move in their midst. You would allow healing to take place. But Lord, that you would just allow them to be given the strength, the hope that they have through the empty tomb, that we have salvation that awaits us. And just continue to just impress upon them your love and your care each and every day. And we lift up our sister church this morning. Lord, we ask that you would bless their leadership. You would bless their people that are gathering there this morning and just allow them to know that you're in their midst as we know, Lord, you are here in our midst. And we do just lift up our brother Dakota this morning, Lord, and we just pray for him as he's in the service, and we just pray we would reach out to him with a card shower, Lord, and just thank you for his family and bless them and bless each family gathered here. Thank you for visitors, Lord. Thank you for continuing to watch over us, for giving us a safe summer thus far. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to help us to love, help us to show support, help us not to judge, help us to not have favorites, as we'll hear about in our passage this morning. But Lord, that you would be glorified, that we would see others through your eyes, and we would be able to extend peace and be able to extend comfort and be able to extend equality to all. And we just thank you, Lord, for meeting us here and for giving us all that we need as we worship you and we go through this week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
The lyrics of that hymn express a call to self-reflection, tuning our hearts to God, singing praises to his unending love, refocusing our tendencies to wander, opening our minds to teachable moments, and recommitting our lives to God's kingdom. This cyclical process certainly is fundamental to walking the talk. It's an attitude adjustment, a reset button, and a personal offering. Will you pray with me? Generous God, you gave us life. Now we give our lives back to you. We present ourselves, our work and our play, our joys and sorrows, our thoughts and deeds, our gifts and resources to be used by you for the sake of all people everywhere, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Join me up front. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, friends. Before you sit down and face this way, I'd like you to turn and look at that big poster that's up there. Do you see it? Yeah, what are some of the things that you see on there? You see footprints. Yeah, I see those too. That's kind of like what we just heard about going, right? Is that an action or something that we speak when your feet are moving? That's an action, right? So you're going to have to understand an action. Look again. What else do you see? I heard two things. Let's go with the word walk. Walk the talk, right? Is walking an action? If your feet are moving, how about talking? Well, it's kind of an action because our tongue and our lips need to move, right? But it also has to do with our thinking, doesn't it? And the way those ideas and thoughts come out of our mouth. You said something else. Will you repeat that?
A heart.
A heart. Will you take notice to the heart up there? Where's your heart? Yeah. So our heart is a physical part of our body, but we also talk about our heart being the place where we have our emotions or our feelings. So I'm going to ask you to hold a little heart today. Slide a little closer to you all. There you go. I'd like you to hold that heart, and I'd like us to think about how our actions and how our words affect this heart. Do you think that can happen? Let's think about it a little bit. So let's say that somebody gives you a treat. Is there an action there? What if they say, this is for you? What happens to your heart if somebody gives you something? Does it feel good? Okay, so let's try another one, but we have to pay attention to the action. We have to pay attention to the speaking. And then we're going to see what happens to the heart when we do that, okay? So let's try this one. That's mine! And grabs an object. Was there an action there? What was the action? Grabbing, right? You grab something from somebody, right? And then were there words there? If somebody says, that's mine, yeah. What does it do to that person's heart? It makes it wrinkle, right. So let's wrinkle the heart. Let's wrinkle the heart. Put a wrinkle in it, okay? Let's try another one, this time. You rush to the line and you push. And you say, me first. Was there an action there?
Yeah.
What was it?
Pushing.
Okay. And were there words there?
Yeah.
Me first. Is there a feeling there? What's the feeling? Is it a good feeling? It's another wrinkle, isn't it? Yeah.
My heart,
it is getting shape. It is getting a weird shape, you're right. So we're causing some damage to this heart, aren't we? Let's try one more and then we'll see if we can fix the heart. You ready? What if you say, you're mean, and you make a grumpy face? Is there an action there? The grumpy face, right? Frown. Are there words there?
Yeah.
Well, how about the effect on the heart? Another wrinkle, isn't it? So wrinkle the heart again. Okay. Well, can we fix this heart? Let's try. Let's open it up. See if we can fix it. Smooth it out. Can you still see the wrinkles? Yeah, they're still there. We're talking about kindness. And when we have actions and words that wrinkle hearts, upset people's feelings and emotions, we can't really completely get rid of those wrinkles, can we? They're always there. They kind of repair they kind of damage a relationship, just kind of like that heart's kind of wrinkled. It can't be fixed. God talks to us about that, and he says he wants us to be really, really kind. He knows that sometimes we're going to cause wrinkles, but he wants us to think about our actions and our words. Will you turn that little heart over?
There's some words there that I put there for you to remember this little part. Will you say those with me? Before you speak, think and be smart. It's hard to fix a wrinkled heart. Will you say that one more time with me? Maybe the other people would like to hear it, so let's do a little bit louder. You ready? Before you speak, think and be smart. It's hard to fix a wrinkled heart. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we want to show kindness to everyone. Help us to think before we speak and act every day. Amen. Thanks for sharing your time with me.
Dorothy Allison writes, "I hate them. I told Aunt Raylene when she came up behind me, waving at the bus as it passed, looking at us like we're something nasty. Aunt Raylene was picking blackberry seeds out of her teeth, looking off into the distance, and she surprised me when she reached over and slapped my shoulder. They look at you the way you look at them," she told me bluntly. "You don't know who those children are. Maybe they're nasty and silly and hateful, maybe not. You don't know what happens to them when they go home. You don't know their daddies or mamas, who their people are, why they do things, or what they're scared of. You think because they wear different clothes than you and go by so fast, they're rich and cruel and thinking terrible things about you. Could be. They're looking at you sitting up here eating blackberries and looking at them like they're spit on a stove. Could be they're jealous of you, hungry for what you got, afraid of what you would do if they ever stepped in the yard." She reached down and pulled her string bag from her pocket and began to roll a cigarette. "You're making up stories about those people. Make up a story where you have to live in their house, be one of their family, and pass by this road. Look at it from the other side for a while. Maybe you won't be glaring at people. Friends, in a world filled with hatred, these lines are a reminder to treat everyone how God would treat them. The reality is we don't know what happens when people go home. We can't possibly know their side unless we've walked in their shoes. Friends, life was never intended to be about who matters and who doesn't. So the next time someone different passes by, just remember they look at you the way you look at them. What if we could see how Jesus sees and look at everyone with love, compassion, mercy, and grace? Friends, consider this for a moment. People start to believe who they are by the way they are treated. The more often people speak negative about them, the greater the negativity increases in their lives. If someone tells you, "You look so tired today. Are you feeling okay?" We can actually convince ourselves we must be sick. And friends, depending on how we are treated, we start to blame ourselves. Victims of abuse think they must have done something wrong, and somehow they deserve what's being done to them. Yet, friends, when our identity is rooted in Christ, when we are walking the talk, we treat others how Christ treats us. And friends, this is such a necessary result of being a follower of Christ. In other words, we can't claim Christ and deny our brothers and sisters their value, their acceptance, and treating them with unconditional love. In our scripture today, we focus on a word that we've all faced, a word that we've all endured and have even found ourselves guilty of, myself included. And that word is favoritism. Now, we all have favorites. How many dog people do we have in the room? How many cat people do we have in the room? I'll pray for you. You see, we all have favorites. A few of mine are the Eagles, the Phillies, Italian, Chinese, Mexican, American food. Did I leave any out? And of course, Mustang cars. But I want us to think in terms of people. Maybe you have a favorite son or daughter, a favorite niece or nephew, a favorite teacher, a favorite coworker, a favorite student. While that sounds okay, there's someone that is not the favorite who's getting treated differently. Now think about what this means. The favorites get first dibs. They get their preference. They get to sit where they want. They can even behave inappropriately without correction. The favorite plays the first fiddle in our lives. But friends, again, when there are favorites, there's someone else made out to feel less than they should feel. I have this amazing shirt, and on the front of the shirt it says, "I am God's favorite." Now, one day I was walking into a store and I actually had a person confront me and they said to me, "No, you're not. I'm God's favorite." And so what I did was turn around and on the back of the shirt it says, "So are you." So are you. Maybe this morning you need to hear those words. You are God's favorite. And what that means for each of us is that we're equal. We're the same in his eyes. And in our eyes, we should treat no one differently. So before we get to our scripture in James 2, let's consider what the rest of the Bible has to say on this topic. Again, our focus is favoritism, which means partiality or bias. To show favoritism is to give preference to one person over others with equal claims. It's similar to discrimination and could be based on conditions such as social class, wealth, clothing, actions, and the like. The Bible makes it clear that favoritism is not God's will for our lives. Romans 2:11, God does not show favoritism. You see, it doesn't line up with God's character. All are equal before him. Ephesians 6:9 says, there is no favoritism with him. Colossians 3:25 teaches God's fairness in judgment. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Friends, there's no doubt the issue exists today. And we're about to find out the Bible calls this sin. Turn with me and read aloud James 2, 1 through 13. James 2, 1 through 13. You've been sitting for a while. This is the word of God. Let's honor it and stand and speak it together. James 2, verses 1 through 13. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to this poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? And they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Say that last line with me, nice and loud and clear. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You may be seated. Lord, I pray in your most powerful name you would open your word to us today. We all gather here today and we say that we're guilty. We have been found judgmental at times. And we say, forgive us. We confess it to you, Lord. And we want everyone in this place to feel equal value. Everyone in this place to feel the same love. So, Lord, I pray that this passage would open our eyes to the realities before us. That we all would be able to walk the talk and be able to hear those words of mercy upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's keep in mind the book of James is a letter to the church about practical Christian living. Not only is it dealing with how to respond to God, but also how to maintain a Christ-like relationship with others. I like to call it walking the talk. Now let's zero in, if you will, on the scene found in verses 2 and 3. I want us to ask ourselves this morning, how would we respond? Could we honestly say we never treated two people differently? Of course we have. And this morning, we come before our God and we repent and we confess it to Him and we ask for His strength to turn from ever doing it again. Friends, it's not that difficult to figure out what the problems were with people James is writing to. These people would gossip at times. They would get angry with one another. Are we really any that different today? This still applies, and we ask for God's mercy. You see, when a rich person showed up at the church door, they would relocate the poor to clear a path for them. So again, James is giving us our first challenge. Do we show favoritism? Now, I don't know about you. I'm curious. Has anyone ever hung out with a celebrity? Anyone? I don't know what that would be like, but I would imagine it's a bit unnerving. Now, it may seem natural to be blinded by their success, their worldly value, their looks. But James is telling us such behavior goes against the truth of God. The rich do not deserve special treatment. In fact, the poor do. He said, doesn't the kingdom of God belong to them? Then James accuses his very religious leaders of being lawbreakers, playing favorites. He says, you're no better than a murderer. You have broken God's law. You deserve His judgment. But James is saying that all of us have sinned. Even religious folks all deserve judgment. But friends, guess what? Here is our comfort. God offers us mercy. So today, perhaps even for the first time, let's receive that mercy. You see, as you said loud and clear, mercy triumphs over judgment. And once we realize how much we depend on God's mercy, it's hard, it's difficult, it's not easy to show favoritism to anyone. Instead, we'll value the poor, the meek, and the lowly because, friends, they've mastered the one thing God wants above all else. You see, God longs for us to rely on Him for everything we have. But every day I ask myself this question, how can I when I have so much? So friends, today, more than ever, let's take a serious look at our lives. Let's inventory the way in which we treat others. Let's discover mercy in a new way, but then apply it to our lives. John MacArthur in his commentary helps us to do just that. He says, and I quote, if we who have been shown such great mercy act unmercifully toward our neighbors, then we will be dealt with in similar fashion. We're reminded that Jesus made the same point in the parable of the unforgiving steward. The principle goes back to Solomon's time. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. In our passage then, James' mention of mercy corresponds to his mention of love, where it said the royal law is to love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the Beatitudes. Jesus proclaims, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. James gives the converse of that statement in verse 13, saying, in essence, cursed are the unmerciful, for they will be shown no mercy. Now, it's important for us to conceive that a Christian is not under God's curse. So these same qualities of mercy and compassion are shown towards others. Let's take a final look. Mercy triumphs over judgment. MacArthur says the idea is that mercy glories or boasts against judgment, knowing that where mercy and judgment seem to conflict, mercy wins. Friends, the good news for every child of God in Christ is that God's mercy toward us will triumph over his judgment. We find that too in Romans 8:1. You see, our sins may battle against us, but Christ, our loving advocate, defends us and prevents us from receiving the judgment we deserve. In turn, here is how we walk the talk. We show God's mercy towards others because mercy matters. The reality is this: God will judge us with mercy, and in the same way, we should judge others with mercy. So being merciful is an act that shows our thankfulness for all that God has done. But friends, this is impossible. It's impossible to show mercy if the Holy Spirit is not dwelling within you. What this means is that God has taken up permanent residence in your lives. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is there is new life. The old is gone. There's confirmation to whom we belong. There are spiritual gifts and the abilities to understand and apply Scripture to everyday life. You could say it's simply walking the talk and realizing that we're not alone in doing so. Now, I'll be the first to confess it's difficult not to show favoritism. Friends, even Christ's closest followers struggled with this area of life. They too struggled with bias against people different from them. Acts 10:34, when the apostle Peter was first called to minister to non-Jewish people, he was reluctant. But later he admitted, he confessed, if you will, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So this morning, it's that easy. The first step is owning it, confessing that we've done wrong. Realizing perhaps for the first time that we tend to form judgments based on our own personal criteria rather than seeing others as God sees them. Friends, in times such as this, my prayer is that we would grow and grow and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we would follow his example of treating every single person with God's love and mercy. Would you please rise and pray with me in unison as we enter into our final hymn? Lord, we confess, there have been times we have shown favoritism. Forgive us, Lord. Help us treat others how you would treat them. And let us walk the talk. Amen.
I pray to God.
Every day is a new day. It's the beautiful thing about following Christ. And today can be a new day in which you decide once and for all, I will always show mercy. I will never show favoritism. May it be so in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.